Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt, slashing your taxes, and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, who has a vast collection of vintage DC and Marvel comic books, and ironically lives in Minnesota, where his favorite NBA team, the LA Lakers, originated, Dave Denniston.
Hello, my friends. This is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Well, we have been talking a ton this year about the tax reform package, and I thought it was time to bring back one of our most popular guests of the last year. As a matter of fact, it was our most popular episode. He was my guest on season 3, episode 9. He's a certified tax coach, a CPA, a business owner, and a former NYPD police officer with 17 years experience on the force. Please help me welcome back Craig Cody. Welcome back, Craig.
Dave, thank you very much for having me. Psyched to be here.
All right, man. Well, we were talking beforehand of a lot of different things we could talk about. We're going to try and cram it in the next 30 minutes or so. And if we don't get it all in, we'll just have to do it again, right?
Great. There's so many planning opportunities out there with this new bill.
I know, right? Well, give us an update. What have you been up to? You've been running around like a chicken with your head cut off with this tax reform?
There's just so much out there, so many new things, so many new planning opportunities. I'm actually going away on this week for 2 days for a mastermind session to go over, you know, new planning opportunities for our clients and helping them keep more of what they make.
That's the game. How does that work, you know, for someone like yourself? Because I think of the corporate tax deadline, which I believe is March 15th. You have the personal tax deadline of April 15th. Do you find yourself just crazy busy from February through April? You know, what does that look like for you?
Well, we have a team here. So it's not just me. So I'm kind of at the top. So I'm doing all the reviewing. I'm doing all the planning, but every client of ours is assigned a bookkeeper and a CPA for the regular day-to-day stuff. So we work as a team. So nobody's running around like a chicken without a head.
Well, I know physicians can relate to that, right? I mean, you have to have different specialists in different areas. So that way, you know what you're talking about. The other person knows what they're talking about and you collaborate together. That's
right,
the name.
Exactly.
Now, Craig, we've had several episodes already this year doing a tax update, which I shared with you some of my spreadsheets on as we're going through some different scenarios. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, which I'm still trying to wrap my mind around a little bit, is we've been talking so far about married couples without kids, whether they had mortgages, no mortgages, state income tax, no state income tax. I want to throw kids into the equation now. Because it starts to get a little tricky because I know that they changed the child tax credit, but at the same point, we lost a personal exemption.
Right.
So let's say that we have a married couple, two kids, they're making $200,000. So it's probably a primary care physician or someone like that that's getting W-2 wages. You know, maybe they're putting $18,000 into their retirement plan. So they have AGI of, let's say, $182,000. Now we get to the second page of the tax return, which is where we have all these personal exemptions and itemized deductions and all that kind of stuff. Can you walk me through that second page of the tax return for someone that has two kids? What might be changing for them?
I wish I could, because the what happens is Congress and the President sign off a bill, and then the IRS comes out with revenue procedures, and eventually they'll come out with tax returns. So we're not sure exactly where the numbers are going to fall, how it's going to work on page 2. But, you know, it all comes down to your adjusted gross income, which is the bottom of page 1, and then your taxable income. So depending on what we're talking about, like we're talking about the child tax credit, that's going to be based on your adjusted gross income. So whereas if you had a child and he was young enough for you to take the credit, it used to start to phase out for a joint couple making $110,000. Mm-hmm. So now that's moved up to, you know, $400,000. So wow. Many more people will be able to take advantage of the child tax credit. So it'll, in essence, make up for some of that dependency exemption that they're losing.
So let's just talk this out. And obviously, we're not going to know exactly what is going to happen. But just correct me if I have this wrong. So if you have a married couple with two kids, so we have four people total, right? So in our previous life, there was, that would be exemptions of about, before about $4,050 each. So if we multiply that times four, that gives us about 16 grand, a little over 16 grand that they would have had in exemptions. Is that right. accurate? Does that make sense?
Right.
And this particular case, their AGI at $182,000 is below the $400,000 level. But before they would have, so that's today, but before they were making too much to get a child tax credit. So there was no child tax credit for them in 2017, but now there will be in 2018. Am I describing this right?
Correct. So far? Yes. Yeah. So what happens is the government figures out, or you figure out, how much tax you should have paid and whether you owe or you don't know. And then you get a credit for each child that qualifies of $2,000, where if you were making over the cap last year, you weren't getting that credit. So now you're going to get the credit, which effectively should make up for that loss deduction.
So what I see here is that in this simple scenario that I'm running, which I encourage everyone to see Craig or someone like him just to run through these numbers, we would have lost $16,000 of exemptions, but now we get a credit, which a credit, from my understanding, Craig, is basically it's money actually added back in your pocket, right? So it's not like an exemption that subtracts against your income. This is actual dollars back in your pocket. Am I describing that right?
Correct.
So if we use this example of if you had taxable income of $158,000 and this new world where now you get taxed $26,000 on it, which is what I had in my example, you would, for having two kids, you'd get about $4,000 additional back. So essentially your tax would be $22,000 rather than $26,000. Am I describing
Correct.
That right?
Correct.
So that, for this scenario that I just ran, guys, from my numbers, I show in my little calculator that, again, you can get this for free if you type in less taxes to 44222. You can get these sheets Craig and I are talking about. Your tax basically falls down to $22,000, which is like a $7,000 savings. It's $7,000 additional money in your pocket. So in this particular scenario with this credit, as long as your income's below 400 grand, I think we're sitting pretty well. What do you think, Craig? Does that
Yes, exactly. line up? Exactly.
All right. So again, yeah, you have the deductions, which the standard deduction doubled. We lost exemptions. Any other further thoughts on that, Craig, just for people that are working at a hospital where they're making W-2 income, of any changes with this tax reform, of how they should be thinking about how it may be impacting them?
I think what it really comes down to is you need to communicate with your CPA or your accountant to make sure where you're going to fit in. And it's possible that if you're not going to fit in, there might be some planning opportunities where you could kind of do some planning and then actually fit in. So it just comes down to, like I always talk about, you know, you need to communicate with your preparer, tax accountant, whomever that is. So if you're going to be close, you make sure that you actually fit in where you need to fit in.
Excellent. Now, one other thing that comes up off the top of my mind is, before, some people might have had elderly parents or something as an exemption. I suppose there's no credit that offsets those kinds of folks. So those
unfortunately.
So that is something that we have to keep our eyes on too, in terms of how that may impact you. So let's switch gears a little bit, Craig, to our friends who may be owning S-Corps, like you and I, you know, physicians in private practice, where there's some huge changes that we really have to consider there. So tell me about the Section 199 changes and what the
heck that is. So Section 199 is basically a deduction that the government is going to give you if you have a pass-through entity, which can be, you know, an LLC, a partnership, or an S corporation, even a sole proprietorship or a single member LLC. Unfortunately, what they decided to do is, if for most professionals, which is, you know, let's just talk about medical professionals, if you're a doctor, they're going to cap that deduction for you. So, and they're going to phase it out. So if your taxable income falls between $315,000 and $415,000, that 20% deduction you're going to get is going to disappear. So somebody that has, let's just say, a K-1 for $300,000 is going to get a $60,000 deduction. But somebody that has a $415,000 K-1 is effectively going to get zero deduction. So there's a huge planning opportunity there to see where you're going to fall and take steps to, you know, enable you to actually capture that deduction.
Interesting. So it's, and then let's, I have someone that I'm working with right now. So I guess let me just walk this back just to get everyone up and make sure we're all on the same page in terms of how this works. So let's say someone has income of $500,000. What they look at their overall, let's call it gross profit before wages are taken out. So of the $500K, let's say they pay themselves a W-2 wage of $100,000. Let's say that of the remainder, you know, you have $400,000 of pass through income. And quick reminder to everybody, the W-2 wages, you pay all of your FICA taxes on those payroll taxes like Social Security, Medicare, et cetera. Whereas the pass through, you don't have to pay those on. So with that $400,000 pass through, if I'm following you, Craig, we're talking about potentially zero in this particular case would get passed through completely tax free. All of the $400,000 would get taxed at your regular income level. Am I describing this well?
And it's all based on your taxable income. So you could have a W-2 for $100, another $400 in a K-1, which puts you at $500. Yeah. But you may have $185,000 worth of itemized deductions. All right, I'm not sure what they would be. Okay, but there's ways to kind of plan for that, and then you would wind up with that. In this case, somewhere between $60,000 and $80,000 of a pass-through deduction.
So,
and I just want to be clear that, you know, like I said, the IRS has not come out with the regulations yet on exactly how they're going to calculate that. So is it going to be capped at the 30% of the 315, even if you go over it, but your taxable income is less? Or is it going to be now you will get that 20% of the 400, which was your K-1? So that would be obviously best case scenario. So we'll have to see what they actually come out with when they actually issue the regs.
So at this point, we don't know whether that's based on the K-1 or whether we're looking at the second page of your 1040, your personal
tax
return.
Well, we know that the phase out is based on your taxable income, but we're not exactly sure what the 20% is going to be based on, depending on where you fall in. So is it just going to be capped at the 315 for, let's just say, a doctor? Because there's other professions out there, or let's just say you have a contracting business, you're not subject to that phase out. You can make as much money as you want and still get the deduction. So they just kind of single out, you know, a number of professional professions.
Right. So someone that's a blogger, for example, or they're a podcaster, you know, and they're making $1 million, as an example, there's no phase out for them, right? Because they're not a service-based business like a doctor or CPA or lawyer, which that's – and part of my question, I guess, is how are they going to know which you are?
Well, there's – on your business tax return is a code that you put in for the type of business. And obviously, you don't want to take a $60,000 deduction for something that potentially under review, you're going to lose and pay all sorts of nasty penalties on. So you have to make sure you do it the correct way.
Right. Right, right, right. So I guess we have to wait and see, but I think at the end of the day, really what's going to help people the most is number one, how their income is coming. You know, if their income is below $300,000 between W-2 wages and the pass-through, then they're going to be much more safer than someone that has $400,000 or higher.
Correct.
Between combination W-2
correct.
And pass-through.
And that's just the reason why you need to communicate with your professional to see where you fall and to anticipate where you're going to be and start planning today, okay? Because you can plan for it today, but as the year goes on, you're going to have less and less opportunities to plan to keep you under that number.
Well, let's take a moment for a quick commercial break. Well, my friends, if you are sitting here confused by all these tax changes, wondering how the heck does this impact me? I mentioned in January, the beginning of this year, that I am going to make available to you my calculator showing all the different scenarios laid out on how this whole thing works. So for this month and the next one, if you text all one word, less taxes, LESSTAXES, all one word, less taxes, to 44222, you can grab that calculator right now. Go ahead and text less taxes, all one word, LESSTAXES, to 44222. And if you're interested in wanting to get the tax reduction prescription, the newest version of it, definitely text there as well, because that will give you early access to the next version of the tax reduction prescription. Again, text less taxes, all one word, LESSTAXES, to 44222. And now, back to the show. So if someone has multiple businesses, like let's say that they own a building, right? And they can charge themselves rent. And let's say that they have their practice. Could they play with the numbers a little bit to, let's say, charge themselves more rent so that that separate business has more income than their service business?
Rent has to be reasonable. All right. And we're still trying to figure out exactly where the rental properties fit in. Okay. We're not 100% sure rental properties are going to fit in. There might be some planning opportunities for rental properties down the road. But initially, I don't see that a rental property is actually going to get that Section 199 deduction.
Hmm. But someone that has a non-service-based business. So let's just talk about what those could be. So the first thing that comes to my mind, of course, is podcasting and blogging, you know, those kinds of newer businesses. What other kinds of businesses, Craig, you know, wouldn't be subject to this kind of...
It's interesting because it looks like architects have been excluded from this group that gets limited. Somebody out there must really like the architects. let's just say your people that are doing electrical contractors, anything in the construction field, it looks like they'll have no limitation there. In the sales field, you know, you have a lot of people that are selling goods on Amazon. It does not look like they're going to be affected by this limitation. But it looks like your CPAs, your doctors, your lawyers, certain consultants are going to be affected by this. And we're really waiting for the regs to come out so we could kind of really see, okay, what's the best way to plan for this to make sure that our clients get this 30%, 20% deduction, which can turn into, you know, a big chunk of change.
And does the corporate structure matter? You know, C corp versus S corp versus sole proprietorship?
Yes, it does. So C corps don't get that deduction. They just lowered the C corp tax rate to 21%, which that in itself opens up some planning opportunities there. But the problem is, you know, if you decide to, you don't really want to decide to, you know, change your entity into a C corporation because you have the double taxation issue there. C corps work for planning. And we expect they'll play a bigger role in planning, but I wouldn't go off and convert your S to a C corporation and think it's going to save you a ton of money.
Got it. Got it. So that this really applies to, I think you said, single member LLCs and S corporations in particular, you know, really benefit from this 20%.
Correct. And you really want to have those discussions sooner than later with your CPA or accountant.
So we don't know all of the details yet. This just came out. The IRS has to go through this, and we're probably looking at a year from now before we can really understand the impact of it. Right, Craig? You know, how long do you think this takes, well, you know, before we can
we
really
expect some stuff to start coming out? Nothing will probably be finalized for a while. But like I said, I'm actually going to a conference on this Friday, and we're going to discuss, based on what we know, what we can do.
Okay. Well, let me just run through this example of an idea. Again, everyone see your person or see Craig to make sure you understand for your situation. But I just want to make sure everyone understands the impact of what this could mean with having a S corporation. So let's say someone has income at the end of the day of $400,000 and they decide what they want to do for the W-2 wage, which they pay the FICA taxes on, versus the pass-through. So let's say hypothetically the person chooses to, I'll use $300,000 rather than $400,000. So let's say they pay themselves a W-2 wage of $100,000. They have pass-through of $200,000. And in our old world, you're paying FICA taxes, you're paying everything on the $100,000. That doesn't change. Federal income taxes, state income taxes, if applicable, all of that you're still paying on the $100,000. The $200,000, that's assuming you don't have any retirement plan contributions. On the $200,000 remaining, essentially in the old world, you'd pay federal and state income taxes on all of that. So if we just use federal taxes as an example, let's say you were paying 30%. I'm just making this up. That would be $60,000 in federal taxes. And then now, on the pass-through portion in 2018, rather than paying $60,000, you would pay the 30% on $160,000.
Correct.
Right? 20% of
save roughly around $10,000, maybe.
Yeah, $10,000-$12,000. So now you're only paying $48,000, let's say, instead on the $160,000. So that's huge. That's $1,000 more a month in your pocket, which is why I often emphasize to people, you know, the S corporation where you can control the W-2 wages versus the sole proprietorship has huge differences between it. Not to mention all of the write-offs that you can continue
right.
in both.
And you know, as the owner, let's just say you are the shareholder, you know, you need to take reasonable compensation. And, you know, what is reasonable compensation? How do you calculate it? It's not just based right. on how much, you know, net income the S corporation may have. Depends on your duties, how much time you're spending different things. And we actually use software that tells us what that is. So it becomes very accurate.
So tell us more about those kinds of questions. You know, how would someone know what is quote unquote reasonable? You know, how do you figure that? Like for doctors that are listening
Correct.
To this podcast.
Well, they would basically have to have a compensation study done. You know, we use software and we do that for our clients to figure out exactly what, based on what they're doing. It leads them through a whole bunch of questions. And based on what they're doing, based on their zip code or county, it tells us what reasonable compensation for somebody that's doing those duties.
And so I have to imagine someone that's a blogger or podcaster would have a lower reasonable compensation than a doctor would.
It depends.
For
what
example.
Is that doctor seeing patients all day? How much time is, you know, devoted to management? That's what the study determines, you know, based on how much time he's spending on different things.
So if someone is doing locums where they are running a business, right, and they're having to look at the bookkeeping and they're not just seeing patients and stuff like that, they have different responsibilities that might be considered on average lower compensation than the average
Correct.
Physician.
Correct, versus the physician that spends, you know, 8 hours a day doing brain surgery, I would imagine, you know, his reasonable compensation is going to be higher.
Could you say that someone that's doing, you know, locums, for example, is more a consultant, you know, because they're independent. All their income is 1099 rather than W-2 wages, you know, that they get issued from the company.
Right. So basically, you know, depending on the entity they have set up, that's where some planning comes into play.
Got it. All right. What else, Craig? What else should we be talking about with the tax reform and everything that's going on there?
That is really the huge thing. I mean, there's some depreciation issues that you want to discuss with your CPA, your accountant, to see, you know, do I need equipment, and is this the time to do it and get the big bonus depreciation, or should I wait? Or did I already buy equipment? You know, because it's kind of funny. I think the date is like September 27th. They chose, and the new depreciation rules went into effect on September 27th. So there must have been someone had a meeting on that day, and they decided to use that date. So if you bought that big piece of equipment the 26th, you don't get the bonus, the big 100% bonus depreciation. If you bought it on the 27th, you do. So you need to look at that. And you just need to communicate with your CPA and just, you know, make sure that you're both on the same page and that everybody's working towards the same goal.
All right. And then one other thing that I want to bring up that everyone should think about is depending upon your kind of business, right? Like for myself, I have a service business, but I also am doing these side hustles where I have the city building kit, our business we bought almost a year ago, which does software for people basically. And then I started the land flipping business, which is of course more in the real estate area. And so Craig, any thoughts on someone that owns multiple entities that do multiple kinds of things? Right now I'm doing all one tax return, for example. You know, should someone be thinking about filing separate tax returns if they have a service business and then they have some other
entities? Well, if you file separate tax returns, which probably, you know, would make sense to have these entities separate, you know, God forbid something terrible happens, but they all flow through to your personal return. So what goes on in the entities has meaning, all right, but it all comes together to your personal. So you want to make sure your plan encompasses everything that you're doing.
So for example, if which we still don't know the answers to these questions, you know, if with this 20% deduction off the top for the section 199, someone could be better off separating them for that reason if they were mingling them together.
Yes, it's
right
going
now.
To be a lot more clear cut if you're a physician and let's just say you have a marketing business also and you're running it through the same company. Probably not a very good idea. So you want to have those set up in separate entities, and there are going to be opportunities in setting up new entities to actually take advantage of what you may be doing differently in your practice to get the benefit of that Section 199 deduction. So that's why I said you need to have that discussion now with your CPA to see what you can be doing and what you need to maybe change or modify.
All right, Craig. Beautiful. Do you have any resources or anything you might be able to point people towards, whether it's on your website or something else, to get a better handle on all of these things that
are happening? Yes, we have our book, our most recent book, which is the 10 Most Expensive Tax Mistakes That Cost Business Owners Thousands. And we'll give you the link for that, but it's going to be craigcodyandcompany.com/freedomformula. And you fill out the little box in there, and we'll send you a copy of our book.
Perfect. Any other closing thoughts, Craig? You want to leave with
the audience? Just remember, you need to communicate with your CPA and start the planning process now. Don't wait until October and November, where you're going to have less options, as it looks like right now.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Craig. And if people have more questions, how can they get in contact with you?
They can call us at 516-869-4051, or email is craig@ccodycpa.com.
Well, there you go, guys. Hope you loved it. Another great episode here with some fantastic education to empower you. Have questions? Make sure to contact me, Dave, at drfreedompodcast.com or on my website, www.drfreedompodcast.com. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. And remember, my friends, remember to slash your debt, slash your taxes, and live a liberated lifestyle. Well, there was the show. Hope you loved it. And of course, we want to make sure to remember that right now is the time. If you are confused about this tax stuff, you want the latest copy of the tax reduction prescription and that calculator I was talking about in January, there's no better time to grab that than right now. Text less taxes, LESSTAXES, to 44222. Again, that's all one word, less taxes, LESSTAXES. Thank you again so much for listening. Blessings to you. Have a good one.